We're going to start this evening by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, which I will read to you. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I'll read it again. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, I assume that you're here, although I don't know you by personal means, but I assume that you're here because you are ready to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, or that you have already done so, and that in your emotions you feel something of his attractiveness and your need for him. And in your spirit, the Spirit of God has been stirring you to give you a hunger and a desire to know God in Jesus Christ. And there is the matter of your will. I don't know how far your will has come. You don't know how far mine has. But there is something in you which has said, I am willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his follower, to be his disciple. And for some people, there is a bastion against the emotion and the will and the spirit working to turn them back from that full obedience which is right for a real Christian. And of course, it was referred to in that verse that I just read to you, which says this: arguments and proud obstacles to the knowledge of God, and bringing thoughts captive to obey Christ. And sometimes it's our thoughts and it's our arguments that make us uncertain and make us say, am I really going to trust my soul and my eternal salvation, as well as my residue of years, only to Jesus Christ? Because obviously, the first thing to do if you're going to follow God's way in Christ is to believe that God exists. Now it says in Romans chapter 1, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. And you say, this didn't just make itself. It didn't just happen. Somebody made it. And we call him God. We know that God has created a wonderful world and a wonderful universe. And it tells us in Psalm 19 that the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. So we know that God exists, and we also know that in our hearts we feel there's a God. And so when you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, you read these words: I am also, he has put eternity into man's mind. God has put eternity in your mind, and you instinctively know that there is a supernatural eternal world, because God has set eternity in man's mind. But what is this God like? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So we find that God is like you, or putting it the other way around, that you are like God. The next verse says, so God created man in his own image. We might have lost a lot of it. Not might have. We have lost a lot of it through our sin. And obviously we're not eternal and omniscient and almighty. We're not like God in every way. But there is one thing about you and about me. We love having friends. We like having a family. We like having people, if we're still out at work, that we work with and work with well and enjoy their company. We are, if you like, social beings. So this God who exists is a God who wants a relationship. And he made man in his own image. It says in Psalm 135, something which I believe is relevant to this. Thy name, O Lord, endures forever. Thy renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. The idols of the nations are like silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. So it's saying God's not like an idol, but God does see and does hear. Praise God, that means he hears our prayers as well as everything else. He sees what we're doing. And he speaks. It says of the idols that they have mouths, but they speak not. But God speaks. He has children and he speaks to them. And I hope he speaks to you. And if he isn't speaking to you, sometimes, I don't mean all the time, but if God never speaks to you, this God that you believe exists, where is your relationship with him? This God who made us in his own image because he wants a relationship. Now, if God wants a relationship and wants us to know him, and appreciate him and love him, because he also is a person with mind and will and emotion, it follows that he must have made himself known. There must be a way of knowing this God. And it tells us in Acts 17 and verse 23, this is Paul in Athens, he says to the people, as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you. You're not worshipping an unknown God, but you're worshipping a God who has made himself known. But how has he done it? Well, he could have done it through man's mind by making us very intelligent and very clever. But listen to Job chapter 11. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heavens. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? We are not clever enough to work it all out and say, oh yes, I know what God's like. I thought it all up. I've got all the answers. It's not through the mind that God reveals himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It goes on to say how it did come to know him, but that's for later on. The world doesn't know God through wisdom, through intellect. Okay, so what if you'd been Jesus and you were going back to heaven and you wanted to make sure that people in later centuries would know? You could have set up an infallible organization. But no church has proved to be perfect in its life or teaching. Not the Roman Catholic, not the Eastern Orthodox, not even the Baptist denomination, regrettably. But no church has proved to be perfect. So not the mind, and not an infallible organization which can never go wrong. So what has he done? Well, we believe that he has revealed himself through writings which endure, and we call them the Bible. Now, I could read to you lots of statements of faith, but let's listen to what it says in the Church of England's 39 Articles. It is not lawful for the Church to ordain anything that is contrary to God's word written. That's what the Church of England believes. And finally, of course, we know that the final revelation of what God is like, how do we know what God's like? We know he's like us with mind, emotion, will. Well, the final revelation was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he is the image of God and he shows us what God is like. So, God wanted to set up a relationship with believing people so that we could know him, so that we could worship him, so that we could walk with him day by day and trust him. And 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 tells us a little bit about how he's done it, as I've just said. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture will enable you to be complete and equipped for every good work because it will teach, it will reprove, it will correct, it will train. And 2 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 21. No prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And Revelation, chapter 22, which is, of course, the very last chapter of the Bible. And verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city. So, if you want to know what God's like, this book will tell you. Now, I don't believe that God sits on his throne and looks at all the Bibles in the world and says to himself, I left something out. Oh, I wish I'd said that when I inspired the scriptures. No, no, I believe everything that you and I need to know is in there. Jesus said that the Spirit of God would lead us into all truth. And I believe that includes when he inspired the scriptures. I also believe that God doesn't sit, as it were, on his throne looking at all the Bibles in the world and say, oh dear, there's something in there that shouldn't have been there. I wish I'd told the writer to leave it out because it's misleading people. There's nothing missing. There's nothing there that didn't ought to be there. That's what I believe. And so, in conclusion, coming back to where we started, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is God's revelation in written form. It tells us what Jesus said and what Jesus did. That final revelation of God's character. It tells us what he said and did. Everything we need to know about him. It's there. And so I would urge you, love this book. Read it. Learn it. Feed your soul on it. So that you can come to know and love God more and more. More and more deeply, more and more widely, and so that you can worship him in the way he wants to be worshipped.
And if you'd like to know more about how the Bible came to be put together and why we believe it's complete, you can go to the YouTube channel entitled David Young, Wrexham and Basingstoke, and you will find a 45-minute video there on that theme, and you will also find 48 other videos at the time of making this recording, ranging in length from about 2 minutes to 45. God bless you.